Chapter 9. An odd moment of complete silence hung over the glade. It was as if a supernatural wind had swept through the place and sucked out all sound. Newt had read the message aloud for those who couldn't see the paper, but instead of erupting in confusion, the gladers all stood dumbfounded. Thomas would have expected shouts and questions, arguments, but no one said a word. All eyes were glued to the girl, now lying there as if asleep, her chest rising and falling with shallow breaths. Contrary to their original conclusion, she was very much alive. Newt stood, and Thomas hoped for an explanation, a voice of reason, a calming presence. But all he did was crumple the note in his fist, veins popping from his skin as he squeezed it, and Thomas's heart sank. He wasn't sure why, but the situation made him very uneasy. Albie cupped his hands around his mouth.
Medjax!
Thomas wondered what that word meant. He knew he'd heard it before, but then he was abruptly knocked aside. Two older boys were pushing their way through the crowd. One was tall, with a buzz cut, his nose the size of a fat lemon. The other was short and actually had gray hair already conquering the black on the sides of his head. Thomas could only hope they'd made some sense of everything.
"So, what do we do with her?"
the taller one asked, his voice much higher pitched than Thomas expected.
"How should I know?" Albie said. "You two shanks are the medjacks. Figure it out."
"Medjacks," Thomas repeated in his head, a light going off. "They must be the closest thing they have to doctors." The short one was already on the ground, kneeling beside the girl, feeling for her pulse and leaning over to listen to her heartbeat.
"Who said Clint had first shot at her?"
someone yelled from the crowd. There were several barks of laughter.
"I'm next!"
How can they joke around? Thomas thought. The girl's half dead. He felt sick inside. Albie's eyes narrowed, his mouth pulled into a tight grin that didn't look like it had anything to do with humor.
"If anybody touches this girl," Albie said, "you're going to spend the night sleeping with the grievers in the maze. Banished, no questions."
He paused, turning in a slow circle as if he wanted every person to see his face.
"Ain't nobody better touch her. Nobody."
It was the first time Thomas had actually liked hearing something come out of Albie's mouth. The short guy who'd been referred to as a medjack, Clint, if the spectator had been correct, stood up from his examination.
"She seems fine. Breathing okay, normal heartbeat, though it's a bit slow. Your guess is as good as mine, but I'd say she's in a coma. Jeff, let's take her to the homestead."
His partner, Jeff, stepped over to grab her by the arms while Clint took hold of her feet. Thomas wished he could do more than watch. With every passing second, he doubted more and more that what he'd said earlier was true. She did seem familiar. He felt a connection to her, though it was impossible to grasp in his mind. The idea made him nervous, and he looked around as if someone might have heard his thoughts.
"On the count of three,"
Jeff, the taller medjack, was saying, his tall frame looking ridiculous bent in half, like a praying mantis.
"One, two, three."
They lifted her with a quick jerk, almost throwing her up in the air. She was obviously a lot lighter than they'd thought, and Thomas almost shouted at them to be more careful.
"Guess we'll have to see what she does," Jeff said to no one in particular. "We can feed her soupy stuff if she doesn't wake up soon."
"Just watch her closely," Newt said. "Must be something special about her, or they wouldn't have sent her here."
Thomas's gut clenched. He knew that he and the girl were connected somehow. They'd come a day apart. She seemed familiar. He had a consuming urge to become a runner despite learning so many terrible things. What did it all mean? Albie leaned over to look in her face once more before they carried her off.
"Put her next to Ben's room and keep a watch on her day and night. Nothing better happen without me knowing about it. I don't care if she talks in her sleep or takes a clunk. You come tell me."
"Yeah,"
Jeff muttered. Then he and Clint shuffled off to the homestead, the girl's body bouncing as they went, and the other gladers finally started to talk about it, scattering as theories bubbled through the air. Thomas watched all this in mute contemplation. This strange connection, he felt, wasn't his alone. The not-so-veiled accusations thrown at him only a few minutes before proved that the others suspected something, too. But what? He was already completely confused. Being blamed for things only made him feel worse. As if reading his thoughts, Albie walked over and grabbed him by the shoulder. "You ain't never seen her before?" he asked. Thomas hesitated before he answered.
Not that I remember.
He hoped his shaky voice didn't betray his doubts. What if he did know her somehow? What would that mean?
"You're sure?" Newt prodded, standing right behind Albie.
I don't think so. Why are you grilling me like this?"
All Thomas wanted right then was for night to fall, so he could be alone, go to sleep. Albie shook his head, then turned back to Newt, releasing his grip on Thomas's shoulder.
"Something's whacked. Call a gathering."
He said it quietly enough that Thomas didn't think anyone else heard, but it sounded ominous. Then the leader and Newt walked off, and Thomas was relieved to see Chuck coming his way.
"Chuck, what's a gathering?"
He looked proud to know the answer.
"It's when the keepers meet. They only call one when something weird or terrible happens."
"Well, I guess today fits both of those categories pretty well." Thomas's stomach rumbled, interrupting his thoughts.
"I didn't finish my breakfast. Can we get something somewhere? I'm starving."
Chuck looked up at him, his eyebrows raised.
"Seeing that chick wig out made you hungry? You must be more psycho than I thought."
Thomas sighed.
"Just get me some food."